Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Second Peter chapter 1. By now you should have memorized this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. There are layers of supplements, building blocks, that when you posture yourself with God, you stand with God, and you decide to be like Jesus. That's what Christian conduct is. That's what virtue is. That as he walks, you want to also follow in his steps. And then knowledge. There are certain things that God cannot do until your knowledge is perfected in certain areas. For instance, most people who operate in the healing anointing struggle with their health. Please hear me. Many times, prophets cannot interpret their own dreams. Are you with me? You have a dream. You can interpret dreams of every other person, but Joseph struggles with his own dream. It is his other brothers that know the meaning and implication of what he has seen. But Joseph, I saw 11 stars. I saw. God allows this possibility so that we can be humble. So that I can depend on you. If anything, I feel like Tobe is not as spiritual as somebody that can interpret my dream, then God will leave me to be floating. Because it's a lesson that must be learned. That lesson of interdependence. We are able to rely on each other. And because we are gifted differently, we all have to depend on each other. So it's a kind of knowledge that when you know it, you come into a city or you come into a place, you are looking for where believers are. Because you know that there is a joint that supplies certain things that you do not have. You have to be connected to that joint. It's a knowledge. So if somebody says to me, for instance, don't go to church, what I'm hearing is not don't go to church. What I'm hearing is you want me to disconnect from the other joint that supplies. Because God is doing certain things in your life that he's not doing in my life. So there are certain graces you will walk in that even if I preach about it, I cannot walk in it like you. Because I have not gone through it. It's not just to open a Bible passage and preach. Is that message formed in you through experience? Knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. Which means knowledge pops up. Knowledge can make a man proud. Knowledge can make a man believe he's more spiritual than the other person. The reason why we go for certain conferences where certain pastors or apostles or prophets are preaching, it's not because we don't have a Bible in our house. It's because we like the way they talk. They preach in a certain way that scintillates us. But that your pastor in Damaturu, in Igbokoda, because he only carries a bell, bagan, your pastor is not, upgrading. It's not, because your pastor can only pray or preach in his native language. For you, it's not like that other man of God. But this other man of God, all he does is he crams the dictionary. Then looks for some scintillating ways to excavate the dimensions of the spirit. So you may be excavating till you get missing. Knowledge puffs up. It takes, you want to know a humble man, find a man who is knowledgeable, and then if you see his ability to come down to the level of the brethren and be one with them, you have found a humble man. Say to your self-control, add patience. And we're talking about patience. Patience. There is no conflict patience cannot resolve. It takes two to fight, too. There's no patience. There's no battle. I was watching a film, and the man was, or some of all these epic films, Old Britain, in the days of the kings. So the king was trying to teach his son how to shoot an arrow. So the boy was struggling with it, and then the king came out, saw the boy, and I said, "No, this is not how to hold the bow." So he demonstrated it, and he said, "After you have positioned the arrow in the direction, say there is one more thing you must do. You must wait. The moment you feel you are ready to let it go, you will miss." He said, "But there's a sense in which that arrow now becomes an extension of your body. The bow, everything is part of your body. You are just in that posture." He said, "You will feel the wind around you." That, you know, he was teaching his son. He said, "You will feel the wind around you." So the wind must aid your target. Because the arrow is very light, but the edge is pointed. So if you are not postured with the force of the wind, it can move to another target. Certain spiritual battles cannot be won outside the perimeter of patience. And some of us have even lingered beyond where we are supposed to have lingered, because we didn't even understand what God was doing. If you hear that, say, "I hear you." So that's patience. The moment he now talked about patience, then the subject of godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, I believe, the scripture says, godliness with contentment is what? It's great gain. It's not gain. It's great gain. So what is godliness? Godliness is to be godly minded. To have the thought of God in your heart. A sense of God in your heart. It is to have a desire to do the will of God in everything. It is to live your life within the perimeter of where God permits you to be. To be godly. And there are great punishments in scripture for the ungodly. An ungodly man will tell you that there's no God. He is ungodly. He has no sense of God. New age will tell you there is nothing like God. It's an energy. This week, the universe is working for me. Everything is working for my good. Okay? You are officially a Hindu worshiper. You belong to the Hindu religion. I have positive vibes around me. I have powerful energy. That's Shiva. You are praying to Shiva. The God of the New Testament is not an energy. He has energy, but it's not an energy. He's not a dove. It's painful, but it's true. For you to realize that the Holy Spirit is not a dove. It's a mental shift, though, because some of you can crucify somebody for saying that. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. In fact, his symbol is not a dove. It's not. Our fathers who did it, that was the revelation they had then. That was the extent of their revelation. If they knew what we knew now, they wouldn't do that. When they speak of the Holy Spirit as a dove, they speak of a character, a particular character. Gentleness. So it's a character, it's not an image. Moses asked them, he said, when you stood before God, did you see any form or image? They said, no. There's no form or image. Where is the dove coming from? I said, it's down here. You know, you just want to patronize our sisters from the dark world, the witches and wizards. They are the ones that fly. Anyhow, Philip flew. Are we together? Philip flew, disappeared. So it's not a new thing. They learned it from us. So don't worry. If you have been flying or you see yourself, you're doing, you're always flying. Don't worry. I got you. Don't worry. You are not possessed. As long as you don't fly physically. You understand? If it's in your dream, by all means do. By all means do. You watch Shazam to a point and you just realize you are flying. Shazam, just fly, fly. What does it mean to be godly? You see, one of the things that God gave us are the things that pertain to life and godliness. That's 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain. That means anything that God is giving to you must have a God signature on it. It must have a God reflection. That godliness, that sense that you just find that this thing is God. There's a God scent around it. It's not being godly. You can enter into a relationship with a very good guy, but he's ungodly. Say, what's his name? Say, his name is Benga. Oh, really? And, you know, if you are living a good life, they say, where I see you, I just shake you. Hi. This guy is going forward. He looks like somebody with a future. Because there are some, if you hold some hands, they are very, very tough. They are tough. So when you shake them, say, ah, is he, are you a farmer? I say, no. So we don't look after what the physical eye see. Because some people knew they were coming to see your auntie and they've been rubbing cream on that hand for 2 weeks to soften it. You may be in a relationship. You may be trying to go into a relationship with somebody that is a Christian, goes to church, but does not have a sense of God in their mind. That's why when they have to make a major decision, they will say, let's see how it goes. There are people that went into a relationship based on let's see how it goes, and because it ended in marriage, they say it was God's will, then they got into trouble. The scripture spoke about a generation that arose, and because they did not retain God in their mind, then God also did what? He gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that has no place and regard for God, a mind that is marked for self-destruction. They are the people that question everything spiritual. They question it. If God is a good God, why does bad things happen to good people? I will give you God's number. Call him and ask him. Just call him. Once you, if you see him and you still have the mind to ask that question, go ahead. Are you asking me? Don't ask me. I'm not God. I'm asking. Why good things, why bad things happen to good people? You soon know. They do not regard, they took steps, just like the things that are going on in, you know, in our generation now. Everybody is trying to unhurt themselves of God. They are trying to cloak themselves from God. They are trying to have a wonderful life outside God so that God now becomes an alternative. But God saw what they were doing, that they didn't want to have somebody watching over their heads to say, this is how to live your life. So there may be this gentle girl in the house or gentle boy in the house at Surulere. But on TikTok, there are something else. They have massive following. Massive, more than men of God. There are many young people today who are more popular than men of God. More popular. But they are living in one room. But they are more popular. Ungodly. A generation that has no regard for God. A generation that has no regard for the desires of God. A generation that chooses to serve God on its own terms. That's an ungodly person. You serve God when it feels, when you feel good. You won't feel like, I come to church on a day, and you know, me and my God, we know ourselves. That's an ungodly person. If you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, we saw something in your heart. We need to take you for a checkup. Can you come on Monday? He called you today. And I say, no. Tomorrow is my resting day. Doctor said, come tomorrow. You said, no, tomorrow I don't go out. I rest. That's how you rested till your heart collapsed. Come, let us fix this thing. People like to relate with God based on if you are sick, go to a doctor. After that, you don't need a doctor again. If you need a teacher, go to a school. So they compartmentalize God based on when you have a problem, you go to him. And God says, no. What I search for is a relationship. Somebody that seeks me with the inward heart. And that's why, again, I maintain, most of the people that lose out on God are people that have been in church for years. But there's nothing you want to tell them that they don't know. Maybe their father or their uncle was a pastor. Or maybe they were the ones who used to carry the anointing oil for the bishop to anoint people. Or maybe they were the catchers. When people fall under the anointing, they catch them. So sometimes you are so close to the altar, you just feel like an ungodly generation. A generation that has no regard. Say, who is God? They will even be quoting the Bible to the Bible, say, ye are gods. You that you are talking, you are a God. What are you talking about? You are a God. And sometimes, some of these people with just one small Itel phone somewhere in Lagos that are, in Nigerian language, pressing the phone, pressing it and posting online. I had a cousin who used to post such things. He believes he's sent to reform the body of Christ. So one day, I got tired of watching his post. So I now responded to him on Facebook. Because I noticed his wife doesn't join him. So I said, why don't you get your wife to join this crusade and leave us alone? Because apparently your wife doesn't want to be part of this thing. That was the last day he posted. And he went off Facebook completely. Because he just realized that Facebook is an open space. All you need is data. The day they start charging us for that data, that thing you are pressing, you will choose wisely before you type. Talk is cheap. When they now bring someone that is possessed here, say, we are gods, and the person warned you, if you touch me, you are dead. One of my spiritual proteges led somebody to Christ and didn't know the person was possessed from the marine world. But because he's a young believer, he now came to call me that I should come and minister. I said, I should have left this person alone. Yeah, let this person alone. But he is a new convert and he's on fire. So I'm not sure he knew what demon possession meant. But it just felt like this person needs prayer. When I got there, I knew immediately this one is possessed. Father, in the name of Jesus, say, if you touch me again, a male voice was talking to me. I'm from the marine world. Say, look at that padlock. All the men that I've slept with, I mentioned their name, I caged them there. So I was, my protege, the one I'm training, stood at my back, was shouting, yes, Holy Ghost fire. Left me with this ungodly son of, or daughter of Zion, or Jezebel, marine spirit. When somebody is telling you, this is the padlock, in fact, if I mention your own name too, you just... So, the devil bandits fear. That's what he sells. The moment he sells a project or a product to you, he sells it like fear. And you fear as fear doesn't just come to you, he embodies you, he cloaks you like a garment. That if God now says, I am able to save you and deliver you, you will need a ton and trailer load of faith to wipe off that small fear. Because fear it's not stagnant, it spreads. When the guy came and showed me the padlock and said, look, we have list. You can add your name. So I had one question, one option. And I'd say, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Sit down, let's do Bible study. I can decide to do Bible study with, or I can decide to speak to the demon. So one of the ways you exercise authority is not to let them talk. The moment you are asking, how many are you? Where are you from? We are from the river, dear. You are from the river. How many of you are here? We are 33. Your brother is part of us. Your mother is part of us. Your sister, even your wife. Then you look, they begin to confuse you. Because you are an ungodly person. You think it's a game. That lady, you know, it's interesting. Because it started from innocence. That's how I got involved in the case. And I was a leader in redeem, so as at that time. So I ministered to her. And the demon left her. So I walked away. The next thing I saw is that she went to join MFM church. She became a leader in MFM. I was so happy. Because that's where she needs to. As at that moment, where I was attending, then, the person that was our leader, the only thing he does is he dresses like Pastor Adeboye. But nothing of Pastor Adeboye is in him. So I just left him be here. It's not to be wearing suit. When they call you for assignment, can you deliver? Or you'll be saying, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's do Bible study. To be ungodly is not only when you look at unbelievers. It is when you see a believer that does not have a godly posture about everything. To be godly is to have a spiritual perspective about everything going on around you first. Not checking Google. They say the boy is spiking. Temperature is spiking. Go to Google. 11-year-old spiking. Okay. I asked one of my doctors, do you people check Google when attending to us? She laughed. Apparently, the doctors are also human beings. Apparently, I didn't know that doctors are also human beings. That computer in front of them, sometimes when you are talking, they are typing. It's because this your case is complex. So, they have website, medical websites where they go to check your life. I refuse to be ungodly. I'm telling you. A ungodly man is never stable. The only thing about God that an ungodly man has is the sense of, I am also a Christian. But there's nothing about him. And many of them are children of pastors. They are children of... They've been in church. I went to preach somewhere. I mean, the guy was just there, very elderly man. Drinking is good. And I said, you need to give your life to Christ. The man laughed. He told me, say, you are still young. Go and enjoy your life. When you reach my age, you can come back and follow Jesus. I told him, I said, you will go to hell. I told him, because I know at that point, I'm already in a club, so they will probably throw me out. I told him, I said, this thing you are doing, you will go to hell. And it will be your fault. And I just stood up, I walked away. The man believes that I need to be as old as he is. When I'm done and I'm tired of sinning, I will now be going to church. I refuse to be ungodly. Peter said that to my what? Patience, I must add a posture of godliness. That when they say, why are you waiting? Why are you not mine? I say, you are waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. It's not just a Christian statement. I am actually posturing and waiting for the moving of the waters. I'm not saying I'm waiting because it's Christian language. That's why I told you, you can be ungodly in a Christian way. If you are waiting on the Lord, then do what waiters do. Serve. 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 Don't say you are waiting. You now subscribe from 36 to 4,400 on Netflix and say you are waiting. So why, we don't know when it will come. You'll now be watching the film on Apostle Paul on Netflix. This is episode though. I didn't even know it's episode. Next episode. So what are you doing? I'm waiting. Do what waiters do. What do? They serve. They stay in the temple. When I went to Jaws, my friend was singing one song. We behold the beauty of the Lord. We choir in the temple of the Lord. We behold. You can't behold it outside. You have to be in the temple. The beauty of the Lord. We inquire in the temple of the Lord. Listen to me. What that song means is that if God tells you that he will do something for you, you cannot be far away. You don't have the liberty to be far away from him. Because any other thing is ungodliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, let me show you something about godliness. 1 Timothy 6, 11. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. Give me another version. I'm sure there will probably be a version that says, run away. Do you have another version there? He said, run from these things. What was he really talking about? Go to verse 10. Let's see. Do we have anything in verse 10? He talked about the love of money. Listen to me. You see, when the first scripture I read to you was that godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, the preceding verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 was talking about the love of money. I am telling you the number one reason why many are ungodly today is not because they don't love God. Is that they love something more than God. Money. And every person who loves money won't come and tell you he loves money. It's just that he prioritizes the pursuit of money above his relationship with God and the fellowship of the saints. And you may not know it, and you may have your excuse, but I challenge you to go to the north and see a Muslim at 2 o'clock who needs to pray. You will wait for him to finish his prayer, for him to attend to it. When I was traveling to Sokoto in those days, when I was living in Sokoto, when we were coming from Ilori all the way down to Sokoto, once it is the prayer time, the driver doesn't take permission from us. He will park. He will just park. On that express, spread his mat and raise his hands. If you grumble from here, if you like, take another bus. You are in the middle of nowhere. An ungodly Christian is that Christian, an ungodly Christian, is that Christian that prioritizes the pursuit of money above his relationship with God and above the fellowship of saints. Because how do we measure it? There should be a way to measure it. Because if you tell somebody that is ungodly, the most likely response is it's not true. He will tell you you are wrong. And God said, one of the first you need to look for is the craving for money. The unhealthy desire and benchmarking the faithfulness of God with how much money you have. This does not mean that God is not committed to blessing you and making you a very rich person. But God is saying your craving, your spiritual appetite must not be such that you crave for money more than your own life. He said, but follow after these things. That means that the desire that God has put in us is not something that can operate in isolation. Your desire must either love something or hate another. So the moment God tells you not to put your desires on money or on the love of money, he says, follow. But man of God, follow these other things. And what did he say we should follow? He said, flee these things, but follow after what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Which is godliness. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after endurance. Sometimes you will pray, God will say, be patient. Endurance. Then he will tell you, add gentleness to it. Behave like nothing is happening. In those days, we just wear a sandal talking. And there's one shirt, St. Michael's, in those days. Some of you may know that shirt. Silk like this, like you don't need to iron it. The way you wash it, just hang it like that. That's the shirt I was wearing. I had different color. I had the orange. I had what was that green color that looks unique? Is it lemon? I had different colors. That's what I was wearing in the choir. I was a member of the choir then. With black trousers. When we are singing prayer, Jesus the miracle worker, Jesus the miracle worker, he is the miracle worker. That was the kind of song we are singing, and people are going to heaven. Not the kind you sing today now from there, you are even remembering the beat from the world. It's just that they changed one play, put Jesus to this. You remember the beat and the dance you got from TikTok and all those. This beat is like, you are an ungodly person. If you are a musician or a Christian musician and they sing your song and people are thinking of the world. I gave a prophecy here, I think a few years ago, that God was going to arrest Justin Bieber. So maybe some of you remember. It was Laura that sent me the link. I saw him was praying on YouTube, on Instagram, on the street. I said, oh boy, God, they arrest people. So I'm looking for somebody else to prophesy to now. Well, give me, if you like any of those Nigerian musicians, give me their name. I'll go and arrange the spiritual work. The guy will start, he will start having visions. You have a candidate, have you? See me after. With good reason. Do you understand? I'm saying, while you are there and you are finding a reason to be in the world, a Justin Bieber is trying to find his way out. You now tell God that actually, you know, things are very hard in Nigeria. Eh? You? Check your TikTok account. See the people discipling you. You check those things just small and go out. Don't stay there. They will corrupt you. Don't stay there for too long. Be watching cartoon. Be walking. No. What's that one? Lion King. Be watching Lion King. That one will still get revelation because Jesus is the lion. You understand? You get revelation. Not all these strange things you people are using. And there are other dangerous apps coming, though. There's one that came out. Somebody was telling me in the choir. Last choir. Okay, Sister Joy. She mentioned one app. Said, Bigo. I don't know. I heard it from them. They say it's even more dangerous. You have not heard it because they are still building capacity. So why you think that the devil is giving you a leeway to be Christian and unbeliever? They are already planning for you for the next step. The next step will sweep you completely into Satan's kingdom. Somebody that spends all her time listening to all these secular musicians, you now say she's come and lead worship on Sunday. By which spirit is she going to minister? Which spirit? Which spirit? This is the house of God now. And in case you tell me that everything is God that is looking at the heart, go and do it in the shrine of Amadioa. If you come out alive, I will allow you. After, I will say there's no power in the church. But we have ungodly people everywhere. Even shouting amen, shouting hallelujah. At the end of the day, the pastor just saying his own. He's just saying his own. We'll still go and watch our TikTok. Watch it, but I caution you. You know, when I say it's not in the Bible, where is it in the Bible that I should not watch TikTok? It's not there, but I must warn you. To be ungodly, most people who are ungodly have good reason for it. Because it's what everybody is doing. Makes a lot of sense. Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that by denying ungodliness and what? And what? Worldly lust. Look at what God benchmarked with ungodliness. What did he put there? Ungodly lust. Worldly lust. We are all in a battle for souls. God, Satan, there's nothing we are selling here. It's souls. Or do you think people don't know we are in Maryland? Let's do a banner there and put some artists out there. There's no flyer, just that banner. That billboard there. If you're a Christian, your affection must be to sit under the word of God for hours, not singing. Not singing. Because singing carries spirits. Songs, as they transmit spirit. So before you ask somebody to sing, you have to find out who is his mentor. Because I say, I like using Celine Dion. I mime, train my voice. And you are an ungodly person. When I became a Christian, Darling Check was becoming very popular. And it was one of the encouragements for me to remain a Christian. Darling Check, because she looks like Celine Dion. Somehow. So when she's singing all those, shout, I say, this is our own Christian Celine Dion. So in my mind, I was seeing Celine Dion. But this one, you know, if I told my wife then, I said, this Australia, you know, maybe that's where the loss came from, that I should move to Australia. Because I just, like, shout, and the way she worships, I said, so it's possible to be in Christ and have something like this. But in my mind, some of those songs, they were love songs. They were not godly songs. Because my heart was with another strange woman, Celine Dion. But this is our own Christian Darling Check. So I was singing the Christian song, but my spirit was with... Think everybody that is crying when they are worshiping that are serving God. So if you don't look at this thing and evaluate yourself, nobody will come to you and say, this is what you are doing. You are the one that will ask yourself, am I really ungodly? And to what degree? He said, teaching us that the teaching ministry of grace, does not tell us that once saved, forever saved. It tells us that by denying ungodliness and unworldly lust, we should live. So before God introduces the sober life, he will first require you to take away the lust and the ungodliness. Listen, the way I'm preaching to you, that when I leave here, I go and listen to the message. Because I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. You may be in a city like Lagos, and all you will see is season of transformation. It's a new season. It's a joyful day. You will see program. Then the question is, are they marketing God or are they bringing God to man? Because it really doesn't make sense. There seems to be a lack of depth in the world. A lack of depth. The thing you are hearing is shallow. Shallow. That you come to a place, you want to teach the word of God, you are even trying to be careful so you won't offend them. He's not here. No. Everything I need to tell you, I will tell you. By the grace of God. Then we will all hold ourselves and walk together by faith. It's not going to be a lone ranger thing. So if somebody comes to this place, if a popular musician that is doing his hand like this comes to this place, he will sit down. We won't recognize him because he's not a brother yet. Say, do good to them, especially those of the household of faith. He's a visitor, he's not a member of this house. Now say, we are very happy. He's here. You are doing your hand like this and squaring your shoulders. can't even put on your phone and enjoy 5 minutes of sanity. They are in your face. And some of the people who are speaking in tongues and shouting Holy Ghost are the ones sharing the videos. Because for you, your God is a good God. He has no, God doesn't mind. He said, by denying ungodliness and unworthy lusts, God expects us to live soberly. Soberly means don't be drunk. Live in such a way that your head is clear. You can think well. When something is being presented to you and you are not sure it's God, your state of mind should be such that you can actually evaluate that thing, even if it's coming from a pastor. Righteously and godly in this present world. So this world is already judged and condemned. Yet God says, live soberly. In other words, model the accurate standard of living for them. Don't join them. This is what God wants to see. So that in the future, when you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, your faith catches fire. So that your faith will be fruitful, it will not be barren. That's what 2 Peter 1 says. So we have to, finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, so now I'm going to merge brotherly kindness and love together. 1 Peter 2, 7. The scripture says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Love the brotherhood. Tell your neighbor, I love you. Now, if the way you said it, it's very obvious that the only time you use that word love is when you want to commit sin. I came to look for trouble today. When you allow somebody who lacks the right to use a word, you allow him fester and feed on it. They redefine the concept. In the US, in those days, when you say somebody is an evangelical, from the word evangelical, you have evangelist. It means these are people who believe in the word of faith, in the teaching that except you give your life to Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. And the teaching of holiness, sanctification, and spreading the gospel, which is why they are called evangelical. Now, many years later, some people came and tried to redefine that concept and expand the meaning so that it accommodates other pastors who wear tattered jeans on the pulpit. Because you want to connect with certain kind of people. So if it's one of fine, but it will notice it's your uniform. There's a particular brother, he lives in Abuja. He was always having problems in that church, very big church. Then he went to submit to Bishop Oyedepo. I won't mention his name, if you know him, you know him. But he was always having issues, very big, fine man. Always on Instagram. The moment Bishop Oyedepo came into his life, in this family we wear suits. That's the first thing. Because sometimes I tell people pray, fast, they think it's a general answer. Let me tell you in specific terms. In our culture, we prostrate, or in Hausa land, you do like this. So don't come here and prostrate and think you are, this is Hausa land. You don't prostrate, you stoop. So he said, this is what you are no more in the world. You are now in Christ. This, do you understand? It's a culture. There's a culture of the kingdom. The man will wear Gucci, and cover his head and do like this. Be seen thousands of lights. Meanwhile, some of us have been laboring in this field. Even Pastor David did not like my post. Do you understand? So you have to be free from the love of men. If not, you can't serve God. You are looking for like and share to know who you are touching, who your life is impacting. There was a pastor that used to despise me so much many years ago. So then before, I used to have some time, I would just go online on Facebook, do a short video, teach on a few things. And then later the brother called my wife and, so my husband said, so I spoke to her, man of God, even though you don't believe my call, you still come, you have to call me pastor. The rest is in your pocket. But you know, that was years ago. Then I asked, you know, he said something that touched me. So we were talking, he said, I used to see you on Facebook. Oh, thank you for all those things you normally share. They are insightful. I now said, which Facebook? I said, I'm leaving Facebook. The man said, please don't leave. I said, why? He said, I personally have been blessed. I said, hey, you believe I'm a pastor? He said, yes. I said, you now believe? He said, yes. He said, that we don't click like or share does not mean we didn't follow you. I said, that was the only reason I stayed back on Facebook. The only reason. It came from somebody I wasn't expecting. You want the acceptance of men, you cannot be a servant of Christ. Whether as a pastor, as a believer, a Christian, if you want the acceptance of men, you cannot be. Because the thing Christ will ask you to do, you will struggle. Brotherly kindness, love, kindness. Now, if you are here and you claim, because we are not sure, you claim that your name is in the book of life. And you go out of your way to put somebody in your office in trouble. You lack brotherly kindness. Especially if that person is of your faith in Christ. In fact, what Paul teaches us is that when you have an issue with a believer, you must not go to court. I know you want to recover the land they took from you, so you went to court. But what Paul gave us with Peter was an economy, a system that solves his problem internally. I don't know if you're with me. Solves his problem internally, such that if the pastor says, from today, this matter is settled, bam, that's it. Because the pastor doesn't have any interest. He's looking for peace. Paul challenged, say, why are you people taking yourself to court? There's a lack of brotherly kindness in the system, in generally, because that's why it's only convenient for us to be Christian online. It's convenient. Because the general language is judge not. Judge not. The people who are quoting that, you say your Bible says judge not, they have court, appeal court, magistrate, supreme court, high court, they have everything, and they are telling judge not. So who is sitting in that place? Any system that is not established on judgment cannot last. The same way, any system established on corruption, I will give you state police, I will wipe out insecurity. Sir, did you share money when you are trying to get the ticket? And no, I just try to appreciate it. You are the same. You go and sit down. So you see that our journey in this country is very far. Very far. The reason why we must now solidify our community system in the church. Because the church will now become the last hope to shield believers. Because the system of the world will fail. God will allow it so that they can come to church. God will not allow any system to rise in glory above his name. So the earlier you settle your mind the way God works, you can align quickly. And believe me, my brother, there are some ladies, when you see them, you will want to pray and ask God if she's the will of God. You will want to pray. They are very attractive. If God tells you no, you'll be heartbroken. You'll be angry. You greet them. You see some lady. You want to have a girl as a first child, because they are so wonderful. So you say, your father is a pastor. It's okay. Let's marry. How can a child who is responsible be afraid of our father's or his father's opinion on the matter, except that you're a bastard? Except. So there are some things we see, we know where everybody stands. Tell yourself, I'm not a bastard. I am not a in my father's house. I'm not a bastard. I'm a proper child of God. If there's anything that you want to do and you're afraid to talk to God about it, check your status. Maybe they've deleted, you need to register your NIA. They've blocked your SIM card. Brotherly kindness, love. That is the end and the summation of the matter. Now, there is something about love I need to say to you. The Bible said there are three things that subsist. One is what? Faith. The other is what? Hope. Now, hope is future faith. When you look into the future and you see what you are trusting God for, it gives you the strength to believe for today. And then the scripture says there's love. Love there is not just, I love you, you love me. That love there is the Father's will, the Father's heart. It is when Jesus said, it is of your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Huh? What you are asking for, God has more for you. The way you are shouting about this thing, you want to shortchange yourself. God doesn't give according to your size. He gives according to his own size. So why are you insisting as if it is not for lack, it cannot be for lack? Meanwhile, that girl you are looking down, it's just that she has not hammered. When she hammered, you will know that she's fine. It's just that your pride, they are not here. The people I'm talking to, they are outside. They are not here. But they are hearing me where they are. Because here we are Christians. I mean now, we are Christians. We are Christians. Listen to me. As believers, the issue of being kind to one another, we have to reconsider it. If your brother falls in sin or stumbles and he falls flat, Christian kindness or love, charity, what it means is that you are more concerned about being part of the process for his restitution and restoration more than only God even knows who is serving him now. The moment you take that posture, even if you didn't say it with your mouth, but you took that posture in your mind, you have been disqualified. You will be counted as being part of his sin. So the life of a Christian is one that should be with soberness. You are more concerned about restitution, restoration, knowing that you yourself can be taken in that same offense. I know my level spiritually, and I know there are some things that cannot happen to me. You've not met Folake. You've not met Monica. When you meet certain people, you will know there is God and that there is Satan. What deceived Satan? What turned Lucifer to Satan? He said he considered his own beauty. He was taken in his own beauty. How can a man fall in love with himself? He was taken in his own beauty. Lucifer was not male or female. He was something else. Just look at himself and smile. Have you looked at him like that? You look at yourself, just smile. Oh my heart. Oh my heart. Oh my. I know see I hurt. And in case you want to tell me you are very holy, but you have mirror in your room. I mean, what is the mirror doing there? So I just need to be sure that I talked my shirt. You're a liar. You're a liar. Let's agree that we are all on the same street on that matter. Lucifer looked at himself. I notice when I walk like this, people look at me more. Shout hallelujah. You tap your glasses and walk straight. That's how Lucifer became Satan. Now, this does not mean you should not appreciate yourself, but he was taken in his own beauty, and then for once he considered that he was better than God. Yet there was no angel that could say, Oga, what you are doing? Listen to me. Don't find yourself there where you take a decision and all of a sudden everybody is scared of telling you you are wrong. You are in a very dangerous place, even if you are the second in command all over the world. All the apostles, you are the second in command in the world. Don't find yourself there. Don't marry a woman that listens to you. Marry a woman that can correct you. I know most men won't like this one, but marry a woman that can look you in the face and say, "Oh, guy, you are wrong." Because if you land in the problem, you will drag me with you. So let me tell you. See, I like people from the village. They are not exposed. You have inferiority complex. I like people that are humble. They are not exposed. You have a problem, but you don't know. You think you are being humble. You have a problem. It's false humility. Peter ends this discussion by commanding us to walk in charity and brotherly kindness. As believers, we must be kind to each other. Watch, the Bible says, let each one look out for the other. Do you understand me? The scripture says, let each one look out for the other. Don't find, it is kindness when you see what is like, and you help that sister, or she forgot her phone on the table, you picked it and kept it for her. Kindness. It is kindness to take what you have that you would have eaten and giving it to another. Kindness is an action word, actually. You can't talk about kindness if you are not doing something. Now, by the time we enter into the month of July and we enter into real spiritual warfare, we do not want there to be accusation against anybody in the spirit realm because of things like this. Why do you think Lucifer could contend for the body of Moses? There was an accusation against him. Moses is not a small boy. Moses is a man of God. He's my man of God. You know why they say my man of God? Moses is not a small fry. Moses was compared only to Jesus. Say, a prophet like unto me, shall the Lord raise unto you. Moses spoke about Jesus and compared him to himself. That's how powerful that guy was. Came out of retirement to become a prophet. Yet when he died, Satan said, we came for him. Came for his body. They would have made Moses another Songo today that people would be worshiping because of the custod, the powers that were in his system when he died. God had to send Michael to go and pick that body. That body was taking life into heaven. So it's not only Elijah that went to heaven with his body. Moses went to heaven with his body before Jesus even came. But if such a man could fall so low by an error, and yet Moses had no one around him to, in brotherly love and kindness, say, "Oh, guy, you are wrong." That means you are no longer safe when you are the strongest man among people around you. You must now look for another company where you are probably the youngest. That kind of relationship. While you maintain this one, you also have another one where somebody can look at you and say you are wrong. It's kindness. You may not know it initially, but it is kindness. I don't know how many people I have spoken to who I told, this kind of person, you cannot get married to this person. But it was not obvious from the surface. They just looked like two people wanted to get married until they got into trouble. The boy that I told then, 10 years ago or 9 years ago, that he could not get married to that girl because the girl was possessed. And the girl even threatened and attempted to attack me in the pastoral counseling. You know, sometimes I want to tell people just like, we have seen small things. Where in counseling, somebody tries to attack you. And a male voice, a demon was talking through her. The boy is still in Ikorodu today, lost forever. No direction. Because I told him. People think when you tell them things, I'm not advising you. I'm telling you what God is saying. I'm not advising you. I'm not a senior advisor of the Federal Republic. If I may just give a general counsel, but if I tell you specifically, I probably have heard something. That guy is still there. No direction. A lady is is manifesting demons. A male voice is speaking through her, and you still went ahead the next day and married her. Simply because they have bought the cow. That's his reason. Say they bought the cow and sell it back. And a demon was talking to the girl. You cannot stop this wedding. You cannot stop this wedding. A male voice. The boy ran behind me. Was hiding behind me. Pastor, is that my wife? I say yes. He still went to the altar with his two legs and married. And a demon was talking to her. You are in a relationship with somebody, and that's why we need to tell ourselves the truth. People use very strong language, and it's kindness. You have to tell them, I will destroy you. When I'm angry, this kind of language is too strong. Destroy. Bro, this is not proper. You look like a prayer warrior, but this your language is not proper. You destroy, it's too strong. When I get angry, I destroy, I spoil it. It is kindness for you to bring rebuke. At the end of the day, Peter was assuring us that if we pay attention to these seven supplements, our faith will be boosted such that anywhere we lift our voice to the Lord, faith is fully deployed in his full power. And again, I submit to you, go and check the seven supplements. They all have to do with a Christian doctrine or posture or conduct. That means the balance for the supernatural power is Christian living. The balance for supernatural life of power is Christian living. Christian living, not power. Christian living. Christian living. The balance for power is Christian living. That is, you are a Christian when you are asleep. You are a Christian when you wake up. You are a Christian every time of the day. It's not something you put on when coming for online service. You are blessed. See the way I'm sweating like this and I'm preaching? It's because I don't want to stand before God knowing that I did not tell you the truth. You may like to preach, but for me, woe betide me if I preach not the gospel. I'm not doing it out of desire. It has been placed upon me. So I will not come here and tell you what you want. I will tell you what will lead to your benefit. If you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. I didn't say be perfect. I say if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. Don't ask for a godly man when all you are secretly asking for is you don't want somebody that will cheat on you. There's a difference. I want someone who is a godly person. But what you are really saying is you don't want them to cheat on you. But are you worthy of being cheated on? Whether you are he or she. So people say things that look godly, but the real meaning of what they are saying has nothing to do with Christ. Tomorrow, if you want to get to your office, go, resume by 9 instead of 8 and see what your boss says. Even if your boss is your best friend, listen to what he will say to you. Then tomorrow, then upper Sunday, come late to church. I know you and God live in your house. God lives in your room. I said, but tomorrow morning, your boss that is a pastor in that bank, don't resume 8, resume 9 or 10. Then let him shake your hand and say, God bless you. If you don't get a query. So if man to man relates that way, then now ask yourself, what kind of man do I need to be if I must work with the Lord? If God answers the prayer of many believers today, he will only be rewarding unfaithfulness. You are blessed. Go and get all these messages about part 1 to 5 now and listen to them again. Say, man of God, flee from these things. He said to Timothy, say, so that your prophecy may appear to all. So when they say that's Timothy, they will say, that's the spiritual son of Paul. It will be clear. I don't expect any of you to be moved by eye-sounding messages by now. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it still comes down to this Bible. Open it and read. If I tell you that which will tickle your ear, I cannot be a man of God. So this is the city of refuge. You will come the way you are, but you will not stay the way you are. And I pray that the Lord will make your life so beautiful that God himself will now have to choose the people that will be in your space. Amen. That the Lord himself will make your life. The Lord would have taken his time to establish his eternal counsels in you such that he will become very involved in the little details of your life. The kind of people you do business with, the kind of people that are your friends. The Lord will help us. I said the Lord will help us. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? These words are for your blessings.